thank you for being here this morning. Always a pleasure to be together with God's people in the house of the Lord. Continue to pray for me. I'm still dealing with a little sinus infection. But glad I can be here this morning and share his word with you. I want to go to the book of John, chapter 2. This has been a tremendous Christmas season for me as far as receiving from God in his word of what this season really means to me. And we talked about that we believe that he came in the flesh. We believe in the virgin birth. Last week we were dealing with Simeon, who was a servant that had received that promise and believed that promise that he would see the Christ, and he did. And when Mary and Joseph came in the temple that day, you remember the story we read last week and how he lifted him up to God and said he was now ready to go on. But as you read and study there, he also gave a word to Mary. It was like a double-edged sword that your soul was going to be pierced because she was the mother. And so this week, the Mary has really, really been on my mind, and the Lord has led me that way. So I want to talk about her today. I want to talk about seeing God face to face. Seeing God face to face. I think about what Mary, the tremendous responsibility she had in raising Jesus. You think about that. When we hear about him, he's in age. First time we hear about him, he's a teenager as he goes into the temple and astounds the temple. But what about those years prior to that? She had that responsibility to train the Son of God up in this wicked world. And she did a tremendous job in doing that. I love to study his word because I learn more and more every day that I study it. But in John chapter 2, John being his cousin, and John, it says here, chapter 2, verse 1, I want to give you a little bit of background for just a minute, but let me read this scripture. It said, John chapter 2, verse 1, in the third day, we're going to learn what that means in just a minute, there was a marriage in the Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So they were invited to go. Historians say, and theologians say, that this was actually John's wedding. And he had invited all of them to come be a part of the wedding. And so they're there. Jesus is there. His mother's there. All the disciples are there to enjoy this wedding. And it says in verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what am I to do? I ain't going to say nothing. I'm going to go right on. Woman, what am I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, they don't know me. They don't really know who I am. And the mother being responsible, see, she had a tremendous responsibility to introduce him to the world. Can you imagine that? And he says, his mother saith unto his servants. Now, Jesus just makes this statement to her. They don't know me. I mean, you're asking me to turn this. And I just got to think a little bit. The history. See, we're not, everything's not recorded, but you got to think about the baby days when Jesus, I mean, he's the Son of God. He's powerful. Can you just imagine living in the house with him? There had to be some strange things going in the house at times, don't you think? I mean, like I heard one time said when he was playing in the water with the other children, his mother would have to say, listen, you're going to have to get down in the water with them once in a while. Quit walking on the water, you know, stuff like that. Get down in there with them, you know. I know you're different, but so I got to kind of think that was some stuff went on. And so Mary knows who this is. And Jesus is learning now. He's growing. He's like us. He's growing. And she says, they don't have no wine. And he says, they don't know me. And she don't even respond to him. She turns to the crowd and says, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. You see that? Have you seen that? He says, and so that's good. And verse 6 says, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews concerning 2 of their firkins apiece. And so they're going through a ceremony and there's some empty vessels there. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And look at this. And they filled them up to the brim. Now every word in the Bible is important. Every word is important. So we're going to get that. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worse. In other words, in most of these ceremonies, you know, they give the best first, and then as time goes on, because these ceremonies lasted 7 days. See, they didn't have honeymoons back then. They had ceremonies. They had feasts and celebrations. And so they would have a ceremony that lasted 7 days, some 8 days, but most of them 7 days. So it's, you think about inviting your neighbors and your relatives over for 7 days, and you got to feed them and take care of them. And so now they've run out of wine, and the illustration is that usually the good stuff comes first, and then it's not that good. You know, we're just trying to get them through 7 days. But this is good stuff. It says, but now that's kept the good wine until now. And now that has kept the good wine until now. I love God's word. What do you want for Christmas today? I know you've probably been asked that a lot, but one of the greatest gifts that we're ever going to have is to be able to see Jesus face to face. And the background here is that Jesus is here, and let's back up a little bit. Jesus is standing there, and his mother says, let there be light. Okay.
Uh-oh. Something's not good.
Okay. He's listening. He's listening to what I'm saying. Let me get my thoughts back. Pressure's on. No, he's standing there, and she says, they're about to give out a wine. What does that mean? Well, the family's reputation's at stake. I mean, you've invited all these people to come. Now you don't have enough for them. And so the third day of this 7-day journey, they don't have any, their wine has run out. They're out. And so she looks to him because, you know, she's in the family. Her sister and John and all that, you know all that story. And says, look, Jesus, they don't have any wine. Now, it's been noted this was his first miracle that he created, that he was involved in. But actually, when you go a little bit deeper, it's the first prophetic sign of basically who he is. And he says, they have no wine. And Jesus says, it's not my time. Now, he needed direction right here because you got to understand, he was flesh. So Mary, knowing that, you know, she's been led of the Spirit all this time, she knows it's his time. She knows this is an opportunity for him to do his work. And so she looks to the servants and says, whatever he says do, you do it. And that prompted Jesus to say, okay, this is the opportunity that God's given to me. So he begins to tell them to go get some water pots. Now, I want to talk about believing, and I want to put it this way. Obedience is believing. Obedience is believing. When I obey something, I believe in that. And when we believe the word, so in verse 7, it says, he said, go take these water pots and fill them to the brim. Now, what's important about that? As much as you put in it, you're going to get out of it. So God begins to lay a foundation here that now we can see him face to face, but everything you want in God is available if you'll put yourself into it. You can't believe that he's God today and then tomorrow something happens and then we're not sure. And we're all human and we do have those days that we doubt and disbelieve. But the bottom line is, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I'm your mother. I know you're the Son of God. We have a need right here, and I need you to perform this miracle. And so he did. So whatever measure you give, Jesus made this statement one time, whatever measure you give, the same measure's pressed down coming back to you. You remember that? The Bible talks about what we sow, we reap. So whatever level you give, when you talk about seeing him face to face, when you talk about living a life of obedience, I want to break it down in a couple of ways like this. Number one, obedience is measurable. Obedience is measurable. The level of commitment is, get this now, whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever he says to do, do it. Now that brings you back to us also. When you're going through whatever you're going through in life, God has a word for where you're at in life. Amen? God knows where you're at. You may not need water turned into wine, but there's another need in your life, and I want you to know he's God over all our needs. Mary knew that, and she wanted to present him to the world. Because Jesus came to the world. Why? Because there was a need. We were lost. We were separated from God. There was no way we could get back to him except there be a sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to be pure. And there was no pure sacrifice but him. But he came. Born in that manger. And now he's growing. He's developing. And Mary says, it is your time. This is the time when people need to understand that you're a God that meets needs. You're here, Jesus, because there's a need. I want you to understand that obedience is measurable because what you believe will come by what you do. Amen? Does everybody get that? If you believe, the word says, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word, right? Faith without works is dead. Jesus is standing there. He can perform this miracle. He can do what needs to be done. And so Mary says, whatever he says do, you do it. Now I want you to put that in your mind right now. As you're going through life's trials and you're going through life's problems, there's going to come all types of things in your mind of what to do. Fear, anxiety, all of those things come in life. We've got a lot of needs in our church right now, and I know for a fact that there's going to be times we're going to be human, and we're going to wonder, and we're going to have fear, and we're going to say, oh, well, what in the world are we going to do? We don't have any wine. Our resources are empty. You got to get this. Our resources are empty. If you don't get anything else, get this right here. God is your source. God is your source. And it was not by chance that Jesus was at that wedding and he never did anything to show how great he was. Now, he never did that. He was not a showboat, as we would say. Jesus did everything with heart. How many of you know that? He did everything with heart. And everything he did had a meaning. And when he turned the water into wine, it was not to show how great he was. It was to be an example to the world that I can meet your needs. And as we go through life, we find a lot of things that we question. And sometimes when you're going through battles in life and your resources are drying up, whatever they may be, we have a tendency to fear. But here's your answer. Whatever he says, do. You do it. Let me give you the second thing about obedience. Obedience is exciting. Obedience is exciting. So I asked the Lord to give me some more meaning of what I'm reading here. Because when I read this stuff, I have to read it over and over again. And I'll read it. And then he'll give me a revelation of it. So what's going on here? The ceremonial water pots. Ceremonial water pots are an example of dead religion. Just going through the motions. How many of you know that if you look at God as just a symbol or a religion or just something you do, then how many of you know you're not going to get a lot of results from it? If you don't do something from your heart, how many of you know you don't get a lot from it? Have you ever had an employee or whatever that you knew they were just there for a check, they could care less about the job? How effective were they? If you just look at God as, well, I got to go to church, or I got to pay tithes, or I got to do this, because if I don't do it, then I'm going to go to hell and all this kind of stuff. How many of you know it's not going to be very effective? But obedience actually is exciting to the point that he takes dead religion, something that could not meet the need, and takes that with his anointing and his miracle power and produces not only wine, but the best wine. Now, stay with me just a minute. Can you give me about 30 more minutes? The best wine. What does that mean? Wine's wine. I'm not much of a wine drinker. I don't drink. Ain't y'all glad of that? But I mean, I don't know nothing about, so I'm in that territory right here I don't know nothing about. But I don't know if it's good wine, bad wine. I don't know anything about that. But he's saying here, this is the best. And so I said, Lord, help me understand, because I don't understand wine. I don't understand this process. He said it was best because it met their need in a time it needed to be met. Now I want you to know this. Serving God is exciting. And when I say excited, it doesn't mean you're going to walk around jumping up and down smiling all the time, because 9 times out of 10, that's not the case. But the real case is that he's a God that takes care of us and meets our needs. Now, we don't understand why people have to go through what they go through. We don't understand why people get sick. We don't understand why some of our loved ones have to go to heaven. We always will say too soon. We don't understand none of that. God, how in the world can this happen? But you got to understand, he knows the whole need and he meets the need. We all are going to be with him one day, soon and very soon. You believe that? I believe soon and very soon we're going to be with him, and there's going to be no more sickness, no more sorrow, for the former things are passed away. Amen. But I say, God, I hear all that. That sounds real good, real, real churchy. But what about those that are hurting right now? He says, Mary says, they don't have any wine. Jesus says, it's not my time. Mary turns to the people and says, whatever he says, do it, do it. So he knew from his mother, because he honored his mother and father, he honored them, so he knew it is my time. And you got to understand this, he didn't walk away from that wedding reception and leave them empty. He met the needs of them in the midst of their need. And you got to get this right here. He will never, ever walk away from you when you're in need. Never. Now, we question him sometimes because he don't meet our needs the way we think he ought to meet our needs. But understand, he knows the whole picture. Right? See, to them, it was just a ceremony. In 4 more days, just a few more days, it was going to be over. But for Jesus, it was the beginning of his life. And he knew that this ceremony, as his mother knew, and she directed him in the right path, she says, whatever he says to do, you do it. And then the next words come out of Jesus' mouth, he says, go pick up those water pots. Let's meet this need. He's the same way in your life. I know it gets dark sometimes, and it seems like that nothing's ever going to change. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get to where you can't go through, he'll pick you up and tote you. Anybody here ever been picked up? Anybody ever had the arms of God just wrap around you and you can't go? You know that little saying, the footprints, we've all read that. Where were you, God? Where were you? Well, I was toting you there. I don't know if you've ever been through a time like that in your life yet, but you will go through that time when you don't have any answers, you don't know what in the world to do, you're exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually, every other way, and He never leaves you. He loves you, and He carries you. Isn't that awesome? He showed us that when that little lamb left the 99. You remember that? He left the 99. He went for that one little lamb. And where was that one little lamb? That one little lamb was caught up in a thicket. Uncontrollable situation. And Jesus reaches in that uncontrollable situation. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about obeying. Whatever He says to do, do it. Even when you question. Because God doesn't get upset when you question, because He knows who He is. It doesn't throw Him off when you say, "Lord, I know You're God, but I'm not feeling nothing right now. I don't understand anything I'm going through right now. Matter of fact, God, I'm mad at You." Did you know He understands that? But all that, He never leaves you nor forsakes you. That's good, because sometimes when you walk down the valley of the shadow of death, what does the Bible say? Though I walk down the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isn't that what it says? If you hadn't been in that valley yet, it's there. It's called life. And everybody has to go through there one time or another. But He doesn't leave us. Whatever He says to do, do it. The last thing I'm going to give you today. Obedience is the key. It's the key to heart's desire. The first miracle of God, the first prophetic revelation of God, was to save a family from shame and bless them. The first miracle He did was to save a family from shame and bless them. You know how some of you senior citizens understand what I'm talking about, but you remember back in the day when you'd invite people to come over to your house, one thing that you always made sure you had plenty to eat, right? You know how there was always somebody, my mama and daddy always had plenty to eat, you know? And that was a key. That was the success of the visit. They had plenty to eat. You know, we got a God like that. He wants you to sit at His table, and He wants you to know He's got plenty to eat. He'll take care of you. So they saved a family, and listen, they blessed a family. They blessed a family. Now, here's what I want to leave you with this. Psalm 37:4, just write that down. You remember it when I read it to you. It said, "Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord, because it's a blessing to serve God." It's a blessing to be in this church this morning. It's a blessing to have faith. It's a blessing to live. When I saw these precious children up here today, all of beautiful children. Haven't we got the most beautiful children in the world right here? Amen. Except for my grandbabies. But other than that, I mean, they're all beautiful. And you know why? They're being raised up. They're being raised up in the presence of God. And to me, their families are being blessed. It's a blessing to serve God. It was a blessing to have Jesus there at that wedding. It was a blessing because why? He's richer than we are. And He loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. He loves us. Obedience, you got to get this, leads to miracles. What are miracles? We experience miracles every day and we don't even realize it. Miracles or when you don't have the power to go through it yourself, but supernatural power carries you through. That's a miracle. Amen? A miracle to take care of a loved one. A lot of you are taking care of parents now. When they used to take care of you, now you're taking care of them. And I've been down there. I've been right there at that road. And you get so tired and so weary. And the nights are where you just, "Lord, I'm just tired, Lord. I don't know what else to do." But you make it to sunrise. And you look back over and you say, "I made it through." How many of you have ever dealt with sick people before in your family and you made it through? You want to know what that was? That was a miracle. That was God never leaving you, nor forsaking you. Even when you felt like you were going to lose your mind, he was there. I'm going to leave you with this. God knows your needs. God knows your needs. Listen to him. Obey what he says, and your heart will be full of desire. Father, thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you're such a loving God and that you care so much for your people. Lord, there are many people here today that are going through a lot of things, physically, mentally, financially maybe, whatever. They're just going through things. Many of these people today, Lord, are taking care of parents, and that they see them in a light now they've never seen them before. And Lord, they have some tough days. But God, I'm so glad that you've saved the best for last. That when we're in the midst of things and it seems like it's overbearing, you don't get tired, you don't get weary, you don't give up, you don't turn around and walk away, but you supply the need. Sometimes, Lord, the need is financial, but then sometimes, Lord, it is things that money can't buy. And Lord, I thank you today that you're a God that we can see face to face, even in trials, even when the supply runs out. Now, Lord, many here today have received bad reports from the doctor, or they bad reports from the bank, or bad reports from a job. And Lord, some people today don't have jobs, and they're just breaking inside. But God, help us all realize today that you're our source, and that we obey you, God, in the fact that we believe you. We believe you came from a virgin. We believe that you came in the flesh. We believe, God, today that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And God, in the midst of fear and anxiety and heaviness and weightiness, may we learn to listen to you, God, in the midst of all that turmoil. And whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening.